Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the story of the one who, as a maintenance specialist for a historic high-rise, knows that vintage charm historically needs constant attention. Which is why, when it's time to upgrade turn-of-the-century mechanicals, they turn to Grainger. With easy access to a million-plus products and the scale to deliver when and where you need them, the right tools and supplies are never far away. So the one can keep that vintage building running like new. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yes, yes, I'm still breaking, but I do have an episode for you. This was an exclusive episode from last year. Now, my apologies to those of you that paid previously for this episode, but as you'll notice, I haven't been taking a break on the exclusive feed. So you are still getting new content over there, so just settle down. And besides, you listened to this a year ago, so it is old news for you. Now, the story you might have heard, but you haven't heard me tell it, and it is one of the cases that most fascinates me, and even after putting this whole episode together, I still listen to any coverage on it that comes out. It is just so intriguing. Hello, and welcome to A Million Other Choices. I am your host, Kim. The story that I have for you today is one of those ones that just left me kind of speechless. And there are just some cases that sit with me more than others, and this is definitely one of them. And I am so glad that Wisconsin allows cameras in the courtroom because I love a good courtroom drama. But don't worry, I'm not going to bore you with hours and hours of testimony, but I have some really good audio tidbits for you, which I always get very excited about. I went through hours and hours of interrogation footage, courtroom footage for you. I've put a lot of work into this episode for you, so I hope that you haven't heard this story before. This is the murders of Bart and Krista Halderson. Bart and Krista Halderson were a lovely couple. Bart was 50, Krista was 53, living in Wisconsin, looking forward to being empty nesters. I feel you, Bart and Krista. Bart was born May 14, 1971 to parents Blake and Kayleen, and Krista was born Krista Frater on January 25, 1968. I feel such an affinity towards Bart and Krista because I'm the same age and basically in the same stage of life. Not quite ready for retirement. Well, I mean, I'm ready for it, but I can't afford it yet. House is almost paid for, no longer caring about cellulite and the odd gray hair. I think that what makes this story so sad for me, and also because after the full review of their phones and stuff, they couldn't find one example of them not speaking to each other with kindness and love, and no examples of them talking poorly about anyone. They were just a really lovely couple. Bart went to Valders High School, graduating in 1889, and Krista to Madison East High, and they both went on to get their bachelor's degrees from the University of Wisconsin-Madison and got married on July 30, 1994. Bart was working as a tax accountant for BDO USA, and Krista had recently re-entered the workforce as a receptionist for Zimbrick Automotive. And their two sons, Mitchell and Chandler, were pretty much fully cooked, as I like to call it. They had their little doggos, Izzy and Rizzo, lots of friends. They loved football games and concerts and volunteering with Madison Outreach. Bart liked to golf, do some home renos around the house, and Krista would work on crafts and cooking. Mitchell was the oldest at 24. He had moved out and was engaged to a woman that Bart and Krista just loved, Caitlin. And he was working as an IT job, getting ready to put down a down payment on a house. And Chandler, at 23, although still living at home, had a girlfriend, Catherine, that went by Kat, that was serious enough that she was around all the time, Bart giving her cooking tips and participating in family game nights. And he was actively getting his certificate in renewable resource engineering, working part-time at American Family Insurance, which being COVID, he could do remotely. Gosh, I really miss those days. Not the sickness and people dying part, but the being at home all the time and shopping on Amazon. But in the spring of 2021, he got a job in Florida with SpaceX, which was going to be paying $80,000 a year, which is not bad for a first job at a university. His girlfriend Kat was going to go with him and had started looking at houses in Florida and purchasing a new car for their move. They were leaving around the end of June, and Bart and Krista would have the house to themselves, and they could spend their weekends in the summer at the family cabin in White Lake, which had been in their family for a number of years. There was a couple of small twinges in their plans when Mitchell was diagnosed in June 2021 with diabetes. Always a little bit of a helicopter mom, Krista worried and fretted a bit, but Mitchell was learning his routine and how to test himself, and then only a week later, Chandler took a tumble down the stairs when he slipped and fell, and he went to the ER and was treated for a concussion and given a soft neck brace to wear. And after that, he was having some issues after that with tingling in his feet and terrible headaches, sometimes having some balance issues. It didn't look really good, actually, but he was getting some testing done to figure out what the issue was. In the meantime, he had put his plans for Florida on hold, but he was still finishing up school and hoped to get back to work very soon. Bart and Krista considered themselves pretty lucky that after 24 years together, if this was the worst that they had to deal with so far, things were pretty good, although Krista worried about her boy's health issues. Krista and Bart made plans to head to the cabin for the July 1st weekend in 2021. Chandler helped them pack some stuff up, and they said that one of their friends was going to come and get them the next morning, and they would all go up together and get there in time for the fireworks and the parade, and they would be back on the Monday. Chandler, being 23, wasn't listening as much as he should to their plans, so he didn't catch which friends they were going up to the cabin with. And the next morning, Chandler said that he heard a car pull into the driveway, some chattering, and then they left. Chandler had his own plans for the weekend. Him and Kat were going to go to her mom, Dulce, and her girlfriend, Crest's farm. There was a pool. It was a particularly hot weekend, so the pool was like a gift from the gods. And the next day, on July 4th, he got a text from his mom saying, "Made it safely, can't get anything through, and yes, it's packed, going to White Lake today for the parade. We'll be home Monday night, Tuesday early, love you lots." And after that, his calls just started to go to voicemail. When they hadn't returned by July 7th, he was getting very worried, and he walked into the Windsor police station and reported them missing, and then called his brother Mitchell. Mitchell was also worried about them because it really wasn't like them. His calls were also going to voicemail, so he actually made the 3-hour drive to the cabin with Caitlin to meet a detective there to see if they could figure out what was going on. Mitchell met a detective at the cabin, and it didn't appear that anyone had been there in a few days, or like in a while for that matter.
"Nobody inside and nothing looks like it's disturbed. But if you want to take a look with us, because you might know better if anything looks out of the ordinary."
"I want to look in the boathouse just to see."
"Okay, if you're cool with it, I mean, we can just the same thing, try to just pop the latch off."
"That'd be great."
"Okay."
I had actually gone up to the cabin myself in order to check it out just to see what was going on."
"And why did you go to the cabin?"
"Wanted to do something myself about it. Before the deputies arrived, I took a lap around the cabin myself just because I didn't want to wait outside any longer. Eventually, Langley County, sheriffs and deputies, met us there. And eventually, I took another walk around the property with them, just pointing out things that I noticed. And also, they busted into the doors because they were all locked and the keys that I had were not working."
"Okay. And what led you to being so concerned?"
"Not having heard from them, not being able to get a hold of them, and not being told that they had gone up there to begin with."
"So during this time period that you learned they're missing, did you reach out to your mom or dad via text or phone calls?"
"Yes."
"Did you hear anything back?"
"No."
"And did that concern you?"
"Yes."
"Okay. And what were your parents' habits about keeping in touch or not keeping in touch with you in connection when they went to the cabin?"
"My mom would reach out any chance she could, so she would have told me."
"Did your parents tell you in the last week of June or the very beginning of July any idea that they may be going to the cabin?"
"No."
Neighboring cabins also reported not seeing anyone coming or going from there.
At that point in time, I asked my wife just to get the address, and we would drive there to their cabin to see how they were doing or if they needed help. There was a log over the driveway, so I stepped over that. There was probably, I would say, 12 to 14 inches of grass, so the grass hadn't been cut, and you could see that nobody was there. I did walk around the cabin and look at all the doors, and everything was locked up tight. There was external padlocks on all the doors.
The Langlade County Sheriff's Department is searching a cabin. No one had ever been there. It didn't look like anyone had been there at all in years. It was run down. The grass hadn't been mowed. There was no food in the refrigerator. No one had been there.
Meanwhile, back in Madison, Chandler was knocking door to door to see if anyone of the neighbors had a doorbell camera footage showing the road to try and see if the car that had picked them up, which Chandler never saw because he didn't look out the window when they left. Most of his neighbors did have footage and had already given it to the police, who had also already canvassed the area. It was Dane County Sheriff's Office Detective Sabrina Sims and Brian Schunk that were assigned to Bart and Krista's missing person case, and they talked to everyone that they could think of. Krista's workplace said that she had actually been scheduled to work on July 2nd, but had been a no-call, no-show, something that was very much not like her at all.
So at this point, the sheriff's deputies don't know what they're dealing with. These folks get up there and decide, now we're going to go to the casino for a few days. We're going to play hooky. Didn't make a lot of sense. They started talking to coworkers and realized these people had never no-call, no-showed, missed work, which they both did on Friday. Did they crash their car? Did this other couple kidnap them? Where the hell are they?
This was all of Krista's time off requests from January 1st of 2020 through December 31st, 2021.
Did Krista Halderson request to be off on July 2nd of 2021?
No, she did not.
Did she show up to work that day?
No, she did not.
Was that unusual for Mrs. Halderson?
Extremely unusual. Krista was very conscientious and would text me usually a couple hours ahead of any start time to let me know she would be late or not in that day. No call, no show. I texted her a little before 9 o'clock when it was apparent that she hadn't shown up. That text was never delivered.
I received a second text, I think around 2:30 or so, of another coworker asking if I had heard from her. So around 4:35, 4:40 or so, we drove over to their house to see if I could get a hold of anyone.
What caused you to drive over to her house?
Just because it was weird for her to not show up to work, and I was living just a couple miles away at the time.
What good police do, and what they did in this case, is they start looking into the people who saw them last, who were with them last, who reported them missing. And in this case, all three of those things, the person who purportedly saw them last was with them last and reported them missing were the same person. It was Chandler Halderson. So what the police did was started to look into Chandler Halderson. This is all occurring in the same 24-hour, 48-hour period. And what they learn about him isn't suspicious at all. Madison College student, he's about to graduate. He's studying renewable resource engineering, kind of a hybrid IT degree with solar panels, things of that sort. He's about to get a certificate. But things had looked bright for him. He'd recently been working at American Family Insurance. He's working from home like most of us the last couple of years. But he's working a good job at American Family Insurance. And not only was he working a good job, Chandler had just gotten a better job. He got hired at SpaceX. He was about to embark on a career that people in the IT field could only dream of. He's planning to move to Titusville, Florida. That's where SpaceX operation is, down in Florida, with his girlfriend. They'd rented an apartment. They'd bought a car. He was working with the Madison Police and the Department of Natural Resources on their rescue diving team. He was a scuba diver, working with the police. The only thing that was a bit odd is he'd recently suffered a head injury.
initially knocked on the door, no response. So I peered through the front door window, like the side light. I saw what appeared to be a table on its side. No response. Then we went to the garage door, checked to see if the vehicles were there, which they were. And then at that point, Chandler came to the door. He had a bandage on his large toe. Not sure which side it was, but he had a bandage on one of his toes.
Did he say anything about his foot?
He said that he had broken the glass around the fireplace while playing with the dogs.
Okay. Did he describe his injury at all?
He just said there was blood everywhere.
Chandler called Detective Brian, repeatedly asking for information if they had learned anything, saying that he was confused and very stressed out. Chandler had gone to the news as well, trying to get the word out, telling WKOW, "We'll find them. It's better to not listen to the negative theories." On July 8th, they questioned Kat Medlander, Chandler's girlfriend of 2 years. She said that Chandler and her had spent most of the weekend together and then his parents hadn't come back from the cabin. Now, I'm just going to play a little bit of her interview with the police. It actually goes on for a few hours. She's definitely pretty chatty. But I've just extracted a few bits and pieces so that you can get a sense of where her thinking was and what the weekend was like up till then.
To east, to my mom's house, to grab the hydrogen peroxide and the Swiffer because Chandler broke the glass of the fireplace that day and cut his toe, so we had wanted to clean that and then clean up the glass and blood. I was there and then I left in the morning because he wanted to do chores, and then around what time I was home, took a picture.
Do you know what the chores were? Like, what does that mean?
Chores, like, his family usually gives him housework, like, you know the grass outside the front of his house? He usually has to take that to the dump. Probably make sure all the remaining glass is up. You know, do his laundry.
Do you know, did he go to the dump?
I think he said he went, but it was closed. Oh. Or that they were just closed. I don't know if he drove all the way there.
So did you see the fireplace?
Mm-hmm.
What did it look like?
Like, broken. It was like one pane, I think, on the left side. Like, 4:20 at the latest is probably when he left.
On Sunday.
Saturday.
Early holiday savings have arrived at Tanger Outlets. Discover the best gifts from your favorite brands, perfect for everyone on your list. And stack your savings with up to 70% off, plus an extra 15 to 25% off only during Tanger Style. Save at Polo Ralph Lauren, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, Skechers, J.Crew Factory, and more. Hurry in. These early holiday deals last through November 24th. Tanger Outlets. More savings, more cheer.
Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
So you were getting ready at your house?
Mm-hmm. Because we went out with Rose, remember? Rose and my brother. Well, we as in me and my brother went with Rose. Chandler was at his house.
So did you guys meet up at your house or mom's house?
My mom's house.
Okay.
When I say our house, I mean my mom's house.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah.
I love Rose. So then, on Saturday night, did Chandler spend the night with you at the house?
Nope, he was at his house.
So he went home?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
He was home Saturday night.
Yeah. And then, okay. It's because when he arrived, he was there we were all there for a little bit. And then Rose wanted to go to Ross. And so Chandler stayed in my room to take a nap. Because, you know, his legs have been having problems, so he couldn't do the walking around thing, which is fair. And so we went from Ross. I have a picture of my receipt from Marshall's. And then from there we went to the farm. And then I have a video of us by the pool at the farm. Chandler went to the farm because my mom's fiance lets him walk in the pool, because that's one of the things we did Sunday, because it helps stretch out his legs, make him feel better, because I also helped stretch his legs on Friday, because he has some, like, numbness, that's the word. And then, from his fall, he had a couple weeks back. And, so from there, he came over to my house. Before that, I went to McDonald's. So he probably got to my house around, like, 7:10, because he, like, beat me there because I was in the McDonald's line. But there's a guy screaming at someone in the window, and I took a video of it. So I called him around 5:02 when I got off work, and I got into my car. And I think he was starting to drive at that time.
Drive?
From Windsor.
To?
The farm.
Farm.
Minutes at most, but like he's following his big brother around, like subtle things like most people don't notice, but like dating him for a while.
What was Mitchell doing there at the house, just looking around the house,
looking for anything Chandler missed, and like grabbing the spare keys to go up to the cabin, or keys that Chandler found in his dad's car that they think are the spare keys to the cabin? Like, I cooked them Mexican traditional food before, because my mom's an immigrant. Like, I'm just there often. If I'm not there, he's hanging out with me, and, like, maybe we won't hang out, like, 2-3 days a week. It's very variant. It depends on, like, if we're doing stuff with our families or if we have other plans, but, like I said, I played Mario Kart with his mom and dad. Hang out with them sometimes, just have dinner with them.
So what was the whole 2-week thing? Why weren't you allowed?
The owing money thing.
So how did that come about? Why was that a big deal? Because I thought yesterday you said that he's owed for like rent and Christmas presents and stuff like that. So why was it?
Those 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Because like he was working for American Family at the time. And, like, there was, like, problems with HR and how they weren't, like, paying him. And, like, it was, like, they sent it in the mail, sent it to, like, not his address. So he was, like, please cancel that check. Then he, like, tried getting them to, like, deposit it. And then at that point, they owed him, like, a couple $1,000s because they were so far behind. And then I guess the company that they sent money through was, like, this doesn't seem legit. They thought it was a scam. And so his parents were, like, you gotta give us that money because we know you have money. And so, yeah, then he paid them. And it was just those 2 weeks that were, like, you have to, like, strict.
Okay.
Which is weird because, like, his mom's like, don't be spending money because you owe us money. But they're not ever, like, really. He said it wasn't really his mom. It's more of his dad, like, on him. But his dad's also an accountant, so kind of stingy.
Okay.
To be real with y'all.
I appreciate that.
So I'm going to ask you a weird question with him falling. He probably was going to the computer, but any kind of violence in the house? No.
His dad was downstairs at his computer. He was telling me about, like, hearing Chandler call. He was like, that's not my computer. It didn't sound bad. And then, like, I got up to, like, check after a while, and, like, he was on the floor. And I was like, okay, Mr. Halderson.
Sure.
Yeah.
He hasn't said anything about it afterwards. Like, hey, I really, like, I didn't just slip on my socks. I actually...
No. Chandler's clumsy.
Okay.
It is not the first time he has fallen.
Alright. So yesterday when we talked, you said that you showered with him Sunday to save the environment.
Save the environment.
Was there any other day that you showered together?
Today. Save the environment.
Okay.
We wash each other's hair, you know?
Okay, so you showered Sunday.
I can tell.
And today, which is Thursday.
Yeah.
And so yesterday you said that your sex life is pretty normal. Mm-hmm. You know, he's whatever.
Yeah, we talk about everything that we do beforehand. Like, okay. something makes us upset, we're like, oh, let's not do that. Okay. And we're like, okay, like, doesn't hit me. Like, if I was like, slap me, he would like be like,
okay.
Like, that's something he's not comfortable with.
Okay. Super personal. Have you guys had sex this weekend?
Once Sunday.
Okay. But you're not sure?
Yeah, or I don't know what day it was, but I know it was once.
Okay.
Yeah.
So one time this weekend. Mm-hmm. Is that pretty normal?
We usually do it more, but, like, you know, we are busy.
Okay.
Like, tired. Like, it's unusual to not get text messages from his mom. Or his, like, dad, kind of. Like, his dad will send pictures of mm-hmm. the cabin. Or, like, his mom will text him updates or something. Like, Bart caught a fish. Send a picture of Bart.
So they went to the cabin on Friday morning, is that right?
I think so, yeah.
Did they send him any updates during the weekend?
I thought it was Saturday they sent a text, but he said it was Sunday that they got to the lake is when they got the text.
Okay.
I thought it was Saturday.
Sure.
He said Sunday.
So why was he concerned on Monday if he just got the text yesterday? Or the day before?
Supposed to be home Monday night. His parents are usually, like, on time, but, like,
okay.
It was like a, they'll be back, you know? And then, like, they're supposed to be back early Tuesday morning if they didn't make it back Monday night. It's like, his dad's very punctual.
Okay.
So, and like, his mom was supposed to work Tuesday.
Okay.
And like,
but Monday y'all went to the farm?
He went to the farm.
Okay.
He went to my house after. I didn't go to the farm with him.
Okay.
But he talked with my mom and her fiancé.
So how did you find out that the parents were, you don't think he had anything to do with his mom and dad being unheard from?
No. All my friends I've talked to, they're like, no, not Chandler, no. Like, that'd be crazy. Sorry to sound very monotone right now, but like, just no.
No. Not a mean bone in his body?
Well, everyone has a mean bone. They even said Mother Teresa was a dick sometimes, like, but I just don't see him killing Mr. and Mrs. Halderson. Like, he had SpaceX. Like, why would he jeopardize something he, like, would dream of, you know?
Yeah.
Like, they're his parents. For Christmas, they got him and his brother matching tool sets. Like, come on.
And that's about the time that things started to fall apart for Chandler. Poor Kat, who was oblivious and trusting and naive and just generally sweet and lovely, she was a true crime junkie like us. So she knew that the faster they eliminated Chandler and Mitch as suspects, the faster they would find Krista and Bart, whom she adored. So she gave them her phone and she just talked and talked. She told them all about their weekend and that they had gone to Kat's mom Dulce's and her fiancé Crest's farm for a barbecue thing. They had a pool. She told them about the fall down the stairs and how it messed up their plans to go to Florida for his job with SpaceX, but that it was okay because they were just going to work it out. Chandler would finish his certificate up. He was working at American Family. But gosh, they had a lot of issues with his paycheck, sending them to the wrong address, getting his name wrong, blah, 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 blah.
What did you know about Chandler falling?
He was running and slipped down the stairs and then fell pretty hard and hit his head.
What kind of symptoms was he reporting that he was feeling after that fall?
Tingles in his legs, sensitivity to light, severe headaches, weakness. He had a hard time lifting things and quite often would get lightheaded.
Could he carry heavy things from what you observed or knew?
No.
Could he drive long distances, things of that sort?
No.
Was he able to travel?
No.
fallen down the stairs, had terrible concussion, was unable to move for the most part, had to wear a neck brace. He was permanently, perhaps injured. And at that point, for all they knew, as sad as it is, Bart and Krista and an unknown couple were crashed into a ditch somewhere between here and White Lake, Wisconsin, dead from a car crash.
What Kat didn't know is that while she was sitting being interviewed, some stuff was going on.
Maybe shortly before noon on July 8th, Detective Liz Allen came to my office. She said she had just had a phone call with the mother of Catherine Mellender, who was the girlfriend of Chandler Halderson. We determined we needed to get out to that farm right away and search it.
And someone was standing in my driveway, and it was Chandler. Okay. So I opened the window because he was kind of standing holding his phone and looking around. And so I opened the window and I said, I asked him if he was okay. And he said, yeah. And I said, oh, I said, are you here to use the pool? And he said, yeah, would that be all right? And I said, yeah, sure.
Were you expecting Chandler that day?
No.
Okay.
He was telling me about his accident. He said he was at a doctor's appointment. And so he was talking to me about what the doctor had said and what was going on. He said it wasn't good, that they might have to do some surgery or something, and that he said he was having trouble, like, with numbers, and he said he got lost, he had to use a GPS. He's just, like, said his mind was kind of messed up and wasn't thinking so well. Dulcage showed up. She'd come. I wasn't expecting her, but she had come to the house, and she came through the house. We were sitting on the deck, and she came and was like, what's going on? And I said, oh, well, I'm just chatting with Chandler here.
We were talking, and then after that, he basically excused himself to go swimming.
Okay. And did he go by himself, or did you go with him at that point?
No, he went by himself.
I was getting impatient and waiting, you know, wondering what was taking him so long. So I said, look, I'm going to go get in the pool. I'm done. You know, I'm hot and I'm tired and I want to go cool off. And she said, okay. So she went to go get her suit. And then her and I have this little riding lawnmower. When we drove up and you could kind of see no one was in the pool, I was looking for him. And then we came up the hill. I had the doors open in the shed and I could see through the shed that his car was parked on the other side of the shed. We were like, what's he doing? You know, what is going on? So we drove over to see if he was in the back of the car. Was he sleeping? What was he doing? Was he smoking weed or something? We didn't know.
We used a little car where we mowed the lawn.
A lawnmower?
Yeah, a lawnmower. So I basically inherited the lawnmower that Papa used to use. And so we, you know, like a two grannies going to.
You were both on the lawnmower?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Chandler wasn't in the car?
No.
At that time, when you're looking at the car, did you see where Chandler was right then?
No.
Did you know where Chandler was?
No.
What the heck? We're looking around. What's he doing? Where is he? And, you know, Dulce was kind of upset at that moment because she's thinking maybe he's doing drugs or something. She was really upset. I just was hot and irritated and just didn't want to deal with it. And so I said, I'm going to the pool. So we left and drove and parked the mower by the pool.
So you're in the pool. When is the next time you see Chandler?
She says he's walking out the woods in that area. Now, at this point in the investigation, the police are out there. They're out on the farm. And she says he walked out over there.
Yeah, he came up to the pool. And I said, hey, Chandler, I don't have a shirt on.
Sure.
Because I go shirtless in my pool. That's kind of why I was waiting for him to leave, because I wanted to have the privacy to get in my pool. And he said, well, if it would be all right, I'd like to get in the pool. I'm kind of sticky and I'm hot. And so I said, okay. And so then I kind of turned and he got in the pool. And he went to the east side of the pool, and we kind of went to the west side of the pool.
Well, he didn't swim because he didn't even wet his hair. He was, like, going underwater and, you know, putting on water on his body. And after he went and just splashed himself, then he get out of the pool and...
At some point, does he get out of the pool first or do you?
Oh, he got out first. He said he was in a hurry. He had to go, that Catherine was getting dinner or something. And so he was like on a mission and had to like, let's go. And he got out and went to the car and drove off.
I went up into the grassy area. I can see you have a photo of the farm there. You know, during my contact with Cress, she did talk that she had recently seen vultures circling over the property.
And did that raise red flags to you?
Oh, yeah.
Why?
When a body or an animal or a creature dies, it starts going through some changes. The microorganisms on there start producing different gases, and it emanates an odor. Turkey vultures can smell that. And when they do, they'll start circling the area to locate where it's coming from.
And were those turkey vultures over the wooded area at the farm?
When I got there, yeah.
So on a hunch, Brian walked over to where she said Chandler had walked out to enter the pool from the tree line.
There's a, you know, a stack of old logs sitting there, but to the right is where we could see what appeared to be two tire marks going into the deeper grass.
Did you follow those tire marks?
Yes, I did. There's another area of depressed grass in all different directions at the end of it, sitting right there. You're standing near where all that grass was padded down at the end of the tire marks in the grass. You look over and you can see more of the grass is like pressed down, heading towards the woods.
Was it apparent to you that this was an area that had been walked through or trampled in some way by someone or something?
Yes.
And did you follow it?
Yes, I did. The vegetation had been trampled down. So it's hard to tell from this picture, but there's actually a downward slope here. You know, if the trees weren't here, it'd be a good little sledding hill for little kids. But there's like a downward slope that goes down into, you can see like a little brush pile down there. More of the trampled grass that goes to this log that goes across.
Did you notice anything ultimately beyond that log at this point?
Yeah. The pile of sticks on the other side of the log, and there was just something that wasn't natural under the sticks.
Did you go check it out?
Yeah, I got as close as I had to. Couldn't quite tell what it was right away, so I stepped over the log and got a little bit of a closer look. It took me a while to process what I was seeing, you know. It became obvious that I was looking at a human torso.
Under dozens of sticks, bushes, and dirt, they found Bart Halderson. Now, when I say they found Bart Halderson, I need to explain that. They found a human torso. Someone had crudely chopped off the head, the arms, and sawed off the legs in the middle of the thigh, leaving the underwear on in the beginnings of the pants. They rolled the torso over. There were gunshots in the back. This man had been shot in the back and chopped up. Police swarmed the place. Drones were in the air. Cadavers, dogs were on the ground. Everyone's looking through absolutely everything they could, but it's a farm. There's a million places things could be. But one detective said, look at that in the woods. Is that a garbage can full of a tarp? It was. And I'll tell you, that tarp was taken out, taken to the Wisconsin State Crime Lab eventually. Bart Halderson, Krista Halderson, their blood is all over it.
Meanwhile, they were questioning Chandler.
So you reported your parents missing. We got some information from you yesterday. We've been following leads last night, working today to, you know, go through different things, just trying to locate them, right? So I guess if you want to start with, let's just go back to last Wednesday.
Wednesday. It was kind of a bad day.
Okay. Why was it a bad day?
Tossed the ball. And I smashed the glass.
Okay.
With the dog. The dog's help. That, yeah, set my dad off. And we tried to clean it up. I don't know about him, but I got injured. But he was mad. He didn't really talk to me too much that day.
You said you were injured. What type of injury
did
you
have? I got a pretty deep hole in my foot. The reason it keeps bleeding is because there's glass in it. Friday morning, I woke up. They had left with the stuff was all set out.
What'd you do Friday during the day?
I didn't do anything that I should have. I should have been cleaning and all of that.
Well, the house seemed pretty clean when I was there.
You see all the dog hair? That's got to be gone.
It comes along with it, right?
Yeah. I believe that was the day Cat came over. My blood was kind of on the floor, so I got the Swiffer I borrowed from Cat. I just tried to stop all the bleeding, but it wouldn't stop. So. Mm-hmm.
That blood was all coming from your left foot.
Yeah, left foot hole.
I mean, are we talking massive amounts of blood? Or are we talking, a little bit? Like, describe.
It started as drops until I got to the bathroom. And then I got back to go grab my sock and some of the paper towel. And then I see the glasses in there, so I grab a tweezer and I pull it out. And then it starts squirting out. I think the worst was that floor. It kind of this lid puddles.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't good.
Are we talking the floor down in the basement?
Well, that one. And then I go upstairs to the kitchen. And it's still going, and I'm trying to get my foot in the sink. Just to slow it down and pinch it, maybe.
As far as the blood on your foot, how did you clean that up? So we were talking, you had blood on...
Swiffer Wet Jet.
Okay, Swiffer Wet Jet. Did you use anything else?
Hydrogen peroxide for the tiles and the hard floors. Just the big globs needed a little bit. But it didn't really help.
Okay.
It kind of just made a mess.
Did your dad get injured at all when the glass broke? Did he step on any of
it? He sent me up. But I don't doubt it. When he gets mad, he's not thinking.
So we don't know if your dad got hurt?
No.
Okay.
No. But my best guess is that guy reached in the fireplace and cut off his arm or something. I don't know.
What's up?
The head pain? Do you guys have like Tylenol or something? I know you guys can't really offer anything like that. But
like a headache?
Yeah, I've been getting the migraines from all of the hits and stuff.
Yeah, we can try to get you something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any reason to believe mom or dad's blood would be somewhere in the house? Have they been injured at all that you're aware of?
Well, my dad scratches his psoriasis till he, gushes blood. My mom's blood, just from her bloody noses she gets sometimes when she wakes up. At the end of the day on Monday, I did go to the farm to talk to Cress and Kat's mom. Then I go up to have, break down by their shed, and they go swimming. Right by the swimming pool is the shed, so they wanted to watch me, break down and all that. So after I noticed they're just watching, I just walk over to them.
Describe your breakdown to me.
I actually cried. Started kicking grass. Just doing the toddler tantrum shit.
What were you having a breakdown about?
You ever have your legs cut?
No, I haven't.
I don't even know if they're done eating as bad as they can be yet. So yeah. That's not fun. It's a symptom of nerve damage from the hit to my spine, so it's permanent.
Okay.
Yeah, you want an aspirin?
Appreciate it.
You bet. I'll work your hands out, my man.
Thanks, Jim. Yep.
Say Advil on him, right? Put them on your mouth already? Definitely there.
They are.
Nope, I just got it.
So the plum you want
true serum? No.
Is it like?
I think it's time we start talking about what happened to your parents. Like a truthful version.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So we have like 20 pages of writing. We're gonna start with a clean white piece of paper for you to start telling the truth.
Okay.
What? Because listen to me. This is the only chance you're gonna have to tell us the truth.
Okay.
What? Listen. I can't tell you what we know. But we know you're not telling us the truth. We know your parents are no longer with us. Okay, and we know the reason why. Okay, you need to tell the truth.
Listen.
You need to tell the truth about what happened, and just tell us why it happened. Okay? If something happened, if you were defending yourself, or if you just got fed up with stuff, you need to tell us the truth. Okay? This is your chance to tell us why. Okay? I'm not BSing you. Okay. So can we do that?
Okay. What happened? Okay.
You know what happened. We're not going to tell you what happened. You know what happened. You were there when it happened. We're not BSing you, okay?
I wasn't there when it happened. We know more than you think we know.
I understand. Okay.
There's people that have told us things. We have evidence. We have proof that more has happened, okay? So your parents never made it to the cabin, and I think you know that.
Just have a feeling stand up. Just come right over here for me.
Interesting. Do you have anything in your pockets at all?
Wallet.
Just a wallet that you just put in there? Oh.
Chandler stuck to his story. His parents went to the cabin and explained away any blood that they would find at the house with his injury that he had gotten on the Wednesday from breaking the glass on the fireplace while playing with the dogs. But then the following day, after Chandler was arrested, Kat came back to the police station with her lawyer and told them that she had taken a screenshot of Chandler's location on Saturday morning, putting him out by Wisconsin Lake, a place that they used to go swimming. She thought it was odd that he was there, but explained it away as he was getting CBD oil for pain and was just driving through. After finding Bart's remains, they used those coordinates to search.
Kat, in the other room, she says, you know what was weird? Is this weekend, when I was with Chandler, while his parents were at the cabin, I left the house early one day, on Saturday, in fact, Saturday, July 3rd, and she says, he told me he was going to do chores that morning around the house. But when I looked at my Snapchat, I saw his location was in a weird spot. What is that?
A screenshot of Chandler by the Wisconsin River.
Why did you take this screenshot of Chandler's location?
I didn't know why he was there, and so I was curious.
Did you know where this location was?
Yes.
And how did you know where this location was?
I'd been there before with Chandler.
Tell us about it.
It's a little spot where we can park our car and walk down to the Wisconsin River for swimming. I asked him what he was doing there.
And what did he respond?
He was going to pick up CBD and he was passing through there.
Do you recall anything else from that conversation about what he said or why he was where he was?
He was picking up CBD for the pain. He didn't want to tell me that he was picking up CBD because he was scared I was going to be disappointed in him.
At 8:58 in the morning, when he was supposed to be doing chores on Saturday, July 3rd, he was in what appears to be a forest on the banks of the Wisconsin River near Prairie du Sac. The police took that. And they identified immediately where that location was, just based on looking at it. That's a bridge. Out they go. The drones go up. The dogs go out. The search team starts searching. They find the remains of Krista Halderson.
Picture 125 is an aerial photo of On the center of it, you can see where the body parts are located that myself and Kevin Gruber, who were part of the search party, what we located.
And let's flip to page 128. How would you describe exhibit 128?
What I had found for human remains.
Okay, just a closer up view.
Correct.
And at this point, did you think it was one leg, two legs, or something else?
I didn't stick around long enough to figure it out.
Sure. Fair enough. Exhibit 129, is that just a further zoomed in view?
Correct.
We found her legs. One complete leg, then somewhat farther away in another bush, a foot, a thigh, crudely cut apart, what appears to be hand saws, axes, things of that sort. No more of Krista Halderson that's identifiable to her will ever be found. She's just those two legs.
One of the neighbor's doorbell cams, one of the ones that Chandler had been inquiring about if they had found anything, well, they did find footage of a light from a fireplace flickering in the Halderson's house that weekend, a rather hot weekend to run the fireplace.
That night, what appears to have happened is Mr. Halderson took items from around the house and began cutting apart his parents. Saw blades covered in Bart and Krista's blood. An axe, Bart and Krista's blood. Hand saws, things of that sort, covered in Bart and Krista's blood. He cleaned the house as best he could, and you'll hear about that. But still, blood spatter found of Bart and Krista's blood around the house. And he had a plan. And that was he was going to burn the remains in the family fireplace there in the house. So it's July 1st. And if any of you remember, 4th of July weekend's pretty hot this year. People in the neighborhood thought it was a little bit weird that so much fireplace was going on. They smelled stuff.
About 5 minutes or so later, all of a sudden that odor of burning wood became a distinct odor that was more like in the line of what I thought someone was like barbecuing a large pork, like in one of these large barbecue pits or whatever that can hold a whole pork. Kind of became real strong, kind of like a pungent smell, to the point that I actually walked down my driveway half the distance and kind of looked up and down the street to see if anybody was doing anything like grilling or something else was going on, and I didn't see anything at that point. Something burning of a meat or fats or something.
And that night, a neighbor who had a security camera behind the Halderson home, way far away, was able to catch something. Because it was pitch black at night, he was able to catch just a little glimpse of all the windows in the Halderson house. We have an expert that's going to come in who works with video and light analysis. And he's going to tell you, he was able to figure out which window that was. It was the window by the fireplace. And for many hours over the course of that night, the light flickered. But in the early morning hours the next day, he'd been up all night doing this. Because you'll learn, you really can't burn human remains. Your home fireplace is not going to get hot enough to do that. But eventually, in the middle of the night, the fire started going well. But that light at one point grew and grew and grew and got very bright in one room. And then all of a sudden, the kitchen light came on, and then all the lights went out. I don't know if anyone's ever taken a hot Pyrex pan out of the stove and put water in it, but it explodes the glass. The evidence in this case will show that what happened was the fire had gotten out of control, burning these human remains. Human fat was rendering out. It was igniting. So Chandler threw water on it. But when you throw water on your residential fireplace, you break the glass. And that's exactly what happened. Just above that broken glass panel, which is clearly shattered, you see the paint kind of bubbled off from the heat. But what stuck out to police right away was that little rock right there.
It smells like barbecued pork oftentimes, or the grease that you would get from barbecuing a pork shoulder. And this is the smell that I associated with what I was gathering from inside that fireplace when I was down in front of it and working near it. I would not be able to make a determination while there if it was human bone or non-human bone.
Do you rely on another expert to make that determination?
I do indeed.
So this is actually that
little piece of bone that you guys saw in that other picture. This is consistent with cranial bone or bone from the skull. We found a total of 106 fragments of bone that were able to be identified. From those 106, 53 of them were considered to be on the cranium. When I'm saying cranium, I'm talking about skull and also mandible. And then we were able to identify 18 of them as hands, part of the hands, 24 of them as dental fragments, and 8 of them as vertebrae, and 3 of them as long bones. In addition to that, I had 124 fragments that I know they're bone, but I was unable to identify them. So we had a grand total of 230 bones, fragmented bones that were found, again, inside the fireplace, on the grate, and also on the ash disposal area.
They searched the Halderson house and found Krista and Bart's IDs. They were in a shoe, wrapped in tinfoil and paper towel, and under a unit of shelving. There was also a tarp found that had bloodstains that matched to Bart. Phone records show that Krista never left Dade County. Her phone pinged to a 500 block of Lynn Street in parallel with Chandler's phone. A rifle was found behind some boards in a shed on the Haldersons' property, blood on the laundry room floor, bathroom floorboards, and a vacuum cleaner. Why do young men think that they can clean blood with a vacuum cleaner? Dustin did that too. Anyways, there was also bits of blood in the basement and the drain in the freezer.
Another detective said that spot where Chandler was walking out of the woods, there's an oil barrel there, like an old fuel tank with a hole in it. That's right where the car was parked. So she peeks her head in. Broken saw blades, handsaws, scissors, tree loppers, all of them tested by the state crime lab, all of them covered in human flesh and blood of Bart and Krista Halderson, the murder weapon, behind a bunch of boards on the side of the barn.
But why would a 23-year-old man with the world ahead of him kill and dismember his own parents? Krista, although a bit of a helicopter mom, was hardly domineering, and Bart wasn't known as being abusive or even a yeller. Could his recent concussion and mysterious illness have something to do with it?
The patient had some residual neck pain, so he was given a collar to go home with for support, with instruction to follow up with his primary care physician and with the spine team that was on call.
At any point, did you give Mr. Halderson directions that he had to wear it for a certain amount of time?
I did not specifically give him that information, no.
Did you tell him he was going to experience paralysis?
No, ma'am.
At any point during your time with Mr. Halderson, did you tell him that he had a brain bleed?
No, ma'am.
At any point during your appointment with Mr. Halderson, did you at any point tell him that he had a brain aneurysm?
No, ma'am.
At any point did you tell him that he had nerve damage?
I don't believe so. No, ma'am.
At any point did you tell him he had a spinal injury?
No, I don't believe so.
At any point did you tell him that he should not drive?
I don't believe so, no.
At any point did you ever say that he shouldn't drive long distances?
No, ma'am.
At any point did you tell him that he had a hematoma in his brain?
No, ma'am, I did not.
At any point did you tell him that he would have an inability to use his legs in a normal manner?
No, ma'am.
At any point did you tell him, because of his mild concussion, that he was going to have a colostomy bag?
No, ma'am.
At any point in time did you have to drill a hole into his head?
No, ma'am.
At any point in time did you tell him that he was going to have surgery where a hole would be drilled in his head?
No, ma'am.
You see, to Kat and her mom and Bart and Krista and Mitchell and everyone else close to Chandler, he was a good boy. A good student, a hard worker, an all-around swell kind of guy. But the reality was that he was a lazy piece of crap. And if he had spent even 1 ounce of the effort he put into being a piece of crap as he did into being the person his family thought he was, he would have actually been a good boy. First, let's start with his job at American Family Insurance. That didn't exist.
I found no record of that person working for American Family.
What about as one of their contractors? Did you research that?
I did as well, and we found no record of that person working as a contractor.
But when his dad or Kat or anyone asked, like, hey, why don't you have any money? He said, well, you see, the company, they had him as an hourly worker and not a salary, so they had to get that fixed. And then they got the wrong deposit information. Oh, and then they finally fixed that, but the check wound up being so big because of all the back pay that the bank flagged it as fake. Listen, you think as a parent you wouldn't buy that. Well, he set up fake emails between him and a made-up HR person to forward to his dad about it. His dad figured the payroll people at American Family were a bunch of maroons.
They started to find things around the Halderson home in the email accounts of Bart and Krista Halderson, in the email accounts of Chandler Halderson. When they talked about American Family Insurance, Chandler had been claiming to work there for a year. But he never had any money. And his father was an accountant. So his father would ask him questions pretty much daily. Why don't you have any money? Why haven't you paid any rent? And Chandler spun an amazing web of lies.
Did you email HR to inquire about your paycheck? Unless there is something that you are not telling us, they have had ample time to pay you, Bart Halderson.
Again, on the same day, we have email number 18. The subject is payment, and it's from Chandler to someone named Tom Selznick at protonmail.com. Could you read the body of that email?
Good afternoon. My name is Chandler Halderson. I was recently made aware of you taking my case. Can I have an explanation of why I haven't been paid yet? Thank you, Chandler.
So June 11th, 2021, Mr. Selznick emails Chandler Halderson in response. What does he say?
Hi, Chandler. I was given your case on Tuesday. However, I have contacted your payroll company and have determined a few issues. One, you are registered as salary. However, you are making an hourly wage. Two, for 2 months, the payroll company saw your name and dues as a clerical error. Unfortunately, you have been making $25 an hour when your salary states you should be making $61,000 annually. This is around a $10,000 difference annually. When I get in contact with payroll, I will show them exactly when you were switched and find out why there was a delay on your dues. Have a great rest of your Friday. Tom Selznick, Northeast Remote Human Resources Manager.
Email 10 from Mr. Halderson to Mr. Selznick on the 17th of June now. What does it read?
Good evening. I was hoping to hear the status of my check. Is there anything wrong or holding it back from being delivered? I recently had to go to the emergency room, so I will need my check ASAP. Thank you, Chandler. Good morning, Chandler. I will make some calls when your office opens to speed things along. I'm sorry to hear about your trip to the ER. That's never fun. I do appreciate your patience with this, Tom Selznick. I will be traveling to Madison, Wisconsin, Wednesday of next week for restructuring of the HR department. It seems there is a lack of communication to be resolved. I will hope to meet you in person and have a sit down on Thursday if you are capable of travel, Tom Selznick.
Did they also have you research whether or not Tom Selznick was ever an employee of American Family?
Yes, they did.
And was he ever an employee or a contract employee?
No.
Why is the guy who's the human resources manager spelling the word resources wrong, saying he's the human resources manager? It's comically fake. He emailed himself back and forth, trying to explain why he didn't have any money, and he forwards it to his dad.
Once Chandler figured out he wasn't going to be able to carry on that ruse much longer, he got a job at SpaceX, you know, with a certificate in renewable resources that he was soon to get. Only there was no job with SpaceX, but it was buying him some time. At least his dad stopped talking about or asking about American Family. But now Pat was looking at freaking houses out in Florida. So he took his tumble, which no one witnessed, down the stairs and suddenly had all kinds of issues with partial paralysis and a possible brain bleed. The ER doctor gave him a neck brace, said he probably had a mild concussion and sent him home. But to his family and friends, it was pretty bad. Now we get to the big issue, college.
But there was one last lie that Chandler had to get out of, and that is he had told everyone he was going to MATC for college. And then he was about to graduate, and the parents were starting to grow suspicious.
Investigators discovered that Chandler had used a number of Gmail emails addressed for people claiming to be working at Madison College. but they were all traced back to Chandler's IP address and sent from the house's Wi-Fi. He was even dumb enough to use his own birthday to register these Google accounts. He sent emails from Alyssa Brandt, Aaron Hoover, and Daniel Spieth about appointments with his advisors, scheduling delays, and financial aid issues.
There were emails, dozens if not hundreds of emails, going back and forth between supposed advisors at MATC and Chandler, and then he'd forward them to his dad from people like someone named Alyssa Brandt, 64. Sometimes Chandler would spell Brandt, B-R-A-N-D-T, sometimes just with a T and no D, depended on the day. But they all had the at Gmail address.
Alyssa, I wanted to reach out since I have not received an email from you with tentative dates and times to discuss Chandler's account and student status. As you might be aware, this is causing issues with financial aid and insurance, but also giving me other concerns. Thank you for your prompt attention to this matter, as we have been trying to resolve this for countless months. Good afternoon. Currently, we have a shortage of advisors, so the earliest I could make time for Chandler is on Wednesday the 26th at 10:30 a.m. Thank you for the update. I blocked the time on the 26th, but would also like to resolve sooner. My wife and I are off on Friday and could meet in person if it would help to resolve this. Alyssa, I have not received any updates for the call meeting tomorrow. I assume this is a call or virtual meeting, but have not received the dial-in information. Dear students, keep watch for scheduling changes. We are short-staffed today, and there likely will be day and time shifts for your meeting. Good morning. Is there a problem with my meeting? I have waited a long time for a meeting, and my employers need my transcripts ASAP. Thank you, Chandler. Good afternoon. I'm checking to see if there's been any progress on the documents I requested. Is there any news? Thank you, Chandler. Sorry for the late response. I'm running around grabbing everything on my spare time. It's been a hectic day due to recent events. Thanks for your patience, Alyssa. Good morning, Chandler. You are not on the list to be picked up today. When was your meeting scheduled for? It was for today at 11:30 with Aaron Hoover. Dear students, I am taking the rest of the week off due to a family emergency. If possible, my meetings will be reassigned by availability and relevance. If you have any questions, please give our secretary, Alyssa, a call or email. My apologies, Aaron Hoover. Alyssa, this is unacceptable. We have been dealing with this issue for well over a year now. It has been costing us money the longer the delays have continued. I'm not sure of the professionalism of the advisors, but it sure seems like they will take off at the drop of a hat and it messes up the whole schedule. Chandler and I have both rearranged our schedules to meet with an advisor today, and I expect you to find a way to make that happen. I need to have a call with whomever is in charge in the next 30 minutes. I have been a student for over 3 years, and I will be treated fairly. Good morning. I canceled the meeting for today because of work conflict and emailed you a list of questions and documents I need. When do you think I will be able to pick them up? Also, when I do get them, I have a few extra questions. Thank you, Chandler.
The IP address used to create that Gmail account, is that the IP address of the Halderson household?
Yes, it is.
All of these were fake. Back and forth to himself and eventually to his dad. The Halderson parents had to have been growing extraordinarily frustrated. Kid wasn't getting paid. He was injured suddenly. His college transcripts aren't coming through, so he can't get a job. Bart Halderson talked to this person. When I talked to the advisor, he sounds just like Chaz on the phone. That is, of course, because Bart Halderson, when he talked to Chandler's college advisor, was just talking to Chandler, who had bought a burner phone. And police know that because they searched Chandler's bedroom. They found that phone. Now, this kept going. The lie about going to MATC or Madison College was the most extensive.
So Bart finally picked up the phone on June 29th, 2021, and called Madison College himself.
And for 17 minutes, Bart Halderson, just before his murder, talked to a man named Omar Job.
Hi. I'm trying to get an appointment scheduled to meet with somebody. Do you have an Alyssa Brandt that works in that area or anywhere in the campus?
What is the last name?
B-R-A-N-T. think it's T or DT. No. Alda Brent, Stano, Alyssa, with all the last name that I put. How about, does Daniel Spice still work there? S-P-E-I-T-H? No, it's not, so no. Okay, that should do it then. Okay, thank you for your help. All right, you're welcome.
Now, when I started, and I said the police were initially thrown off because of one thing, and that was this text message from Krista. And it's real. Made it safely. Can't get anything through, though. Yes, it's packed. Going to White Lake today for the parade. Be home Monday night, Tuesday. Love you lots. Sent on the 4th of July. So the police started looking into that. And the first thing they found was White Lake. The parade was on July 3rd. Remember, the 4th of July this year was on a Sunday. So everyone celebrated on Saturday. And in the garage, under a shelf, in a shoe, wrapped in aluminum foil, was his mother's phone, along with her driver's license. That message on July 4th, Krista there is in pink, Chandler's in green. The message was sent from the Halderson home on July 4th. Chandler sent it to himself.
On Bart's personal calendar was a meeting with Madison College with Chandler, Bart, and a school official at 3 p.m. on July 1st. On July 1st at 2:10, Bart texted Chandler, "I'm ready whenever you are," and his phone was never used again.
Bart Halderson, shortly after that, sends a text message. Text message that ultimately sealed his fate, which was a text to his own son. And it says, "I spoke with Omar Job." Guess what was on Bart's calendar? On July 1st, he was supposed to have a meeting with the people at MATC with his son at 3 o'clock. Of course, that meeting couldn't happen, but Bart Halderson knew that. Chandler had obviously figured that out at this point. There was no way out of this one. You can't get out of this lie. And so the next day, Chandler Halderson wakes up on July 1st and starts messaging his girlfriend. 7:26, I hardly slept. 7:27, stuff hasn't been going well for me lately. Just trying to plan for the next thing to fuck me over. 7:51, I had a great future planned. It's falling apart. 1:04, just 2 hours prior to the murders. I overheard they might go to the cabin with their friends, but I don't know. Now, shortly after this message, Bart Halderson's getting ready to go to MATC for this meeting. Bart texts Chandler, "I'm ready whenever you are." That's about 50 minutes prior to when he was killed. Those are the last words ever recorded of Bart Halderson. The neighborhood he lives in, riddled with security cameras, never see him again. And after shooting his dad, Chandler texts his mom. "Dad's phone died. Text or call me. And get sewed on your way home. I have an extra hour of work." She responds, "K, I can," smiley face. Those are the last words of Krista Halderson alive. Neighborhood security cameras, the Haldersons didn't have one, but the neighborhood, a lot of people did, show Krista pulling in, getting out of the car, walking in. She's never seen again until her legs are found out by the Wisconsin River.
When a copy of Chandler's transcripts was finally received by the prosecutor's office, he was never a full-time student. Only part-time. He completed some of his classes in the spring of 2018 before signing up for 3 classes and finished 2 in the summer of 2018. In the fall of 2018, Chandler registered for 3 classes, but only completed 1. In the spring of 2019, he registered for 4 classes, only finishing 1 and withdrawing from the other 3. In the fall of 2019, he enrolled in 8 classes, but received 0 credits after failing 5 courses and withdrawing from the other 3. He didn't return to Madison College until the following fall in 2020, when he enrolled in 7 classes, failed 2, and withdrew from the other 5. He didn't attend or register any classes in the spring or summer of 2021.
The WNA, it's withdrew with no attempt, meaning that the class was withdrawn sometime, I think it's the first 10 days of the course.
And then going into fall of 2020, mostly withdrawn with couple Fs there, correct?
Correct.
So after the fall of 2020, he was not a student there any longer from what you're able to glean from all these documents?
Correct. I believe the end of that semester was January 18th or so.
And so we'd have to go back to the spring of 19 when he got a C in something called project management to find the last class where any credits were earned?
That's what I'm seeing.
He had nothing to do all day because his job was pretend. And so he sat on his computer playing video games. And I'm not against people playing video games. People play video games. But every day, Mr. Halderson was able to wake up and find a group of friends to play video games with online, one of which was stationed in Germany. This friend was a guy named
Andrew Smith.
And how do you spell it?
Alpha, November, Delta, Romeo, Echo, Whiskey.
Okay. And your last name, Smith, common spelling?
Sierra, Mike, India, Tango, Hotel.
Give us a general overview. How often would you play video games with Chandler online?
Almost every day, sir.
At some point, you decided to come visit Chandler.
Yes, sir.
Whenabouts was that?
Sometime during, I think it was June, sir.
Of this past year?
Yes.
Had you ever been to Wisconsin before?
No, sir.
Okay. It's a long drive up here?
No shit. Yes, sir.
It's okay. So everyone slips up. When you visited Wisconsin to see Chandler, you brought him a gift.
Yes, sir.
What did you bring him?
I brought him a 20-inch barrel SKS.
What did Chandler do with the gun? Were you able to figure out where he put it in the house?
Yeah, he had initially, so if you would walk down the flight of stairs in the basement, you would look left, there was like a little wood pile, and he had stuck it in the middle section there, because I understood that they might not be happy about having this firearm, so, but he had told me he was going to be moving soon to do a career in SpaceX in Florida, so he was just going to take it with him and move out there with it.
The SKS rifle that was found about 100 yards from Bart Halderson's body. What I expect to prove beyond any reasonable doubt is that on July 1st, 2021, somewhere between 3 p.m. and 5 p.m., Chandler Halderson murdered his parents. This guy who's wearing a neck brace nearly every day in late June would have no problem just days later carrying large bags of ice out of gas stations to chill his father's cut-up body in a freezer. And you'll note, no neck brace. And in fact, you'll note in this case, Chandler Halderson has never seen a neck brace again after July 1st, 2021.
In January 2022, Chandler was found guilty after 2 hours of deliberation of 2 counts of first-degree murder, 2 counts of providing false information about a missing person, 2 counts of mutilating a corpse, and 2 counts of hiding a corpse. After hearing the verdict, the judge said to the jurors, "Words are difficult to come to express the gratitude that I feel, thanking them for their time and their effort and sacrifice, and offered to meet with them individually." Chandler didn't react to the verdict. Caitlin, Mitchell's fiance, said, "We are comforted in knowing Chandler can't hurt us. I do not believe my family would be safe if he were ever released from prison." Krista's good friend Jane Hindergolf said of Bart, "He was generous, doing the little things to take care of people, and that Krista had a lightness about her, and when she'd walk into the room, you'd just feel happier." The prosecutor, William Brown, said he believed Halderson's potential release in the community would be a danger to everyone around him, saying that the fact that there had not been any traditional warning signs or red flags that he may be capable of such a violent act. As long as he breathes, he will be a risk. In addition to the life without parole sentence for 2 counts of murder, he received the maximum sentence of each of the other charges, which is going to be served concurrently. 3 years for the giving false information, 7 years and 6 months for mutilating corpses, and 7 years, 6 months for hiding the corpses.
I cannot conceive of a way to fulfill my duty to protect the public that I serve were I to perceive that at some point in time, an individual who committed these crimes should be released back into that public. I cannot grant to Mr. Halderson the generosity of spirit and empathy that his grandmother has for him. Empathy which his own parents would surely have had were he just owned up to what he had deceived them about. I cannot say to the community here in this room or at large in this county that Mr. Halderson should have the ability to be reviewed and considered for release back into our community at any point, despite his young age at this point in his life. The gravity of these offenses and the need to protect the public outweigh the potential that there could be that at some future point he should have presence among us.
Your Honor, I want to take this opportunity to state my intent to appeal my convictions. If there are any lawyers listening and willing to take on my appeal, take a moment to please reach out to me. It's not that I do not have feelings. It's that I was warned to not show them due to the scrutiny of this case. Thank you.
He is currently at the Dodge Correctional Institute awaiting his appeal. And that was the terrible and sad, scary murder of Bart and Krista Halderson. I hope you will join me again in a couple weeks with another exclusive episode. And as always, thank you so much for listening.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.